join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Bishop Herbert Bailey continues with Believe the Love.
Moses is reminding the second generation who are now on the brink, getting ready to go into the promised land, why their foreparents didn't go in. He said, I want to let you know the reason why y'all had to grow up here in this wilderness until your parents and grandparents died off had nothing to do with God's lack of love towards you. It had nothing to do with God's ability to bring you into the promised land and to fulfill his word. He said, but let me give you some insight into why that first generation that came out of Egypt didn't go in. Deuteronomy 1:26, notwithstanding, you would not go up. God said, let's go up. Let's take the land. You would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and you murmured in your tents. Sometimes it's not what you say to other people, it's what you're saying in your house. It's what you're saying in those private conversations. It's not what you're saying formally. It's what you're saying informally. It's a little sidebar conversation when you're letting your guard down. When you just, watch this. When I'm being real. I'm just being real. Chandler said to me one time, he laughs about it now. Years ago, he came to me with something. He was a very young man. He was right around 20 years old. I mean, it's over 10 years ago. So he came to me and said, Dad, I need to talk about something. And right now, I don't need no scripture. I just need to be real with me. No scripture, just be real. I said, you need to understand, son, the scriptures are real to me. It shapes my thinking. My worldview is shaped by the word. No matter what I'm going through, it's shaped by the word. So it's not like the word says, but this is real life. See, some of y'all, that's y'all thing. Well, I know what the Bible says, but. Some of y'all go through stuff like, this ain't got nothing to do with the Bible right now. You married people think, this ain't got nothing to do with the Bible. This is about love. It's about love. This ain't nothing to do with the Bible. It's about love. This ain't got nothing to do with the Bible. This is about money right now. This has nothing to do with the Bible. This is about business. Y'all say business. It's about business, right? It's about business. It ain't got nothing to do with the word. It's about business. Now, I understand your business, your marriage, your finances, everything is affected by the word. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It is in him that we live, that we move, that we have our being. You can't separate your life from God. You can't separate your life from the word. He said, they rebelled against the commandment of the Lord. Deuteronomy 1:27. You're murmuring in your tents. What you're saying, you know, when you call yourself as it being real. And said, look at this. Because the Lord hated us. Because what? Because the Lord hated us. He brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us to the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Moses said, the reason why y'all didn't go in, because you didn't comprehend the love of God. The reason why you had to grow up in this wilderness is because your parents thought God hated them. Are y'all seeing this? So because you thought God, you let your situation change your expectation. You didn't understand that God wasn't bringing you to the wilderness. He was bringing you through the wilderness. You didn't understand that this was not the end. This is a means to the end. You didn't understand that God got a plan even in the midst of this wilderness glory. You thought that some kind of way, because you're going through this, God doesn't love you. God hates you. No, you don't understand that God's love is going to be demonstrated in a greater way by how he gets me out of this. I told you I should love Batman. When I grew up and watched Batman, it was a series on every day. Now y'all just know the movie. But it was a series that came on every day. And every other day, Batman got trapped. Every other day, he was on freaking Freeze Man's icebox. Every other day, he was on the Penguin's conveyor belt headed towards a razor. Every other day, he was getting ready to drown or something. But Catwoman would have him in some kind of, or the Riddler or the Joker, have him in some type of situation. But I don't care how bad it was. It may have went off that way. But I ran home from school next day. Because they told us, how will Batman get out of Freeze Man's cold freezer? Tune in tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel. And I ran home not to see if Batman got out. I ran home to see how he's going to get out. Some kind of way, Batman always has something in his utility belt. Holy ice, Batman. Some kind of way he'd pull out a knife and it would jam the conveyor belt. Some kind of way he would do something hot and it melted the ice. It was not a matter of him if he was getting out. It was how he was going to do it. Can I tell you, in every trial you're in, you're like, "Ooh, how God going to do this?" Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, God got something up his sleeve. God, sir, got something up his utility belt. He did it before. I just want to see how he's going to do it this time. I don't know how he's going to get me out last time, but he got me out. I don't know how he's going to deliver me before, but he delivered. Oh, God, how you going to do it this time? How you going to do it this time? I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to do it. So I got to believe, the love that God has to me. So that's why the scripture said in 1 John 4:16, and we've known and we believe the love. See, a lot of you think you know the love of God, but do you believe the love of God? I know God, but do you believe it? Or is it for someone else? We've known and believe the love. Three things the scripture says happen. I won't get to all of them today. I'll continue. Three things happen as a result of believing the love that God has towards us. And I'll give you the listing, then I'll go into them. Number one, boldness. Number two, fearlessness. And number three, love towards others. When I believe the love of God, I get boldness, I get fearlessness, and I get love towards others. So let's deal with that first one. The scripture says, 1 John 4:16-17, we have known and believed the love that God has towards us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. Herein is our love proven. Herein is our love matured. Herein is our love really demonstrated and completed and solidified. The first it says that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Everybody say boldness in the day of judgment. Boldness in the day of judgment. Now, the New Living Translation says it, puts it this way. We will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence. Now, because I know God loves me, that means I already know my sins are forgiven. Are y'all with me here? The prodigal son, I believe it was several things that caused him to wander out in the foreign land far too long. Okay? It was part of it was pride. Okay? Part of it was pride. Because the Bible said this didn't happen all at once. The Bible said he began to be in want. He starts seeing him run out of money. He starts seeing things wasn't working. Okay, can I tell you, as somebody who was out the will of God and let it go deeper and deeper and deeper, when that thing almost happened for me the second time, in May of 1995, it didn't take me long that time. I said, oh, no, I see already, this is going in the wrong direction. I'm looking for increase, I'm getting decreased. Okay, I'm looking for things to get better, things are getting worse. And I didn't just let it keep going. And so I quickly said, I'm out the will of God, and I repented and went back to where I started. Because I didn't want to go down that road again. The Bible said he began to be in want. Okay? Second, but another thing I believe that kept him staying there far too long, I believe there was pride. It was some ignorance. It was pride. But also, I really believe that the prodigal son, he wasn't solidified in his father's love towards him. He really thought he was going to have to qualify for his father's love. Which is why he rehearsed his repentance speech to him. That wasn't, study scripture. It wasn't going to be a spontaneous thing. He was rehearsing it. He figured, I got to get my words right. You see, I'm going to go say, Father. I'm going to go back and say, and I'm going to say, Father, I've sinned against heaven. I'm going to say, I sinned against you. He was rehearsing what he's going to say. Are y'all with me here? That's in Luke 15, by the way. When he finally comes home, his father sees him afar off and runs down the road to him. Once his father saw he was even making the attempt to come home, the father ran towards him. Are y'all listening to me? The father ran towards him, and as I have demonstrated to you many times, the father runs to him, throws his arms around him, and the boy is trying to give his speech, and the father not even listening to his speech. He said, listen, get the fatted calf ready. We're going to have a party. He wasn't even listening to the speech. The prodigal son wasn't convinced of his father's love towards him. He thought he was going to have to qualify. He thought he was going to have to explain exactly what happened. Can I tell you, God already knows what you did. Can I tell you, God knows why you did it, even if you don't know why you did it. All God wants to see, are you done with that? That's what God wants to know. Are you done with that? Because if you're done with that, I got a better plan for you that I have for you all along. It's been delayed, but it's not been denied. Can we get on with what I originally wanted to do with your life anyway? I know you went on and did that. You spent all those years with that, with this person, doing this, out the will of God. But can we get back to my plan for your life? Now, I'm going to have to change some things. I'm going to have to move some tracks around. I'm going to have to redirect something. But I got a destination that I want to take you to. And you can get there from here because I still love you that much that I want to fulfill my plan, my word, my purpose in your life. Boldness means I will not be afraid on judgment day because we can face him with confidence. The Message translation says we have boldness in the day of judgment. The Message translation says we're worry-free on judgment day. Worry-free on judgment day. So the reason I have boldness on judgment day, okay, I want to hear him say, well done. Glory to God. And some of us, they said, some of God ain't going to say well done. He's going to say well. I want to hear him say well done, not just well. Amen. I got confidence, I'm going to hear him say well done. I got confidence, I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus. Watch this. I'm not trying to make it in anymore. I'm in. Y'all didn't catch that. I said I'm not trying to make it in. I'm in. Your salvation, heaven, is as sure as you saying Jesus is your Lord. Come on, when you make Jesus the Lord of your life and repent of your sin and ask him for forgiveness of your sin, heaven is the end already. I'm not trying to make it in. I'm already in. Look, somebody say, I'm already in. I'm already in. My kids are not trying to get in with me. They're in. Come on. My grandchildren are not trying to get in with me. They're already in. They're in the family. Are y'all hearing me? You're already in the family of God. Behold, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Not later. You, you, child of God right now. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear. We're going to be like him, because we're going to see him as he is. I'm getting better every day. He's perfecting me. He's molding me. He's shaping me every day into his image. Look at somebody, say, I'm already in. I'm already in. Can I tell you, when you know the love of God, you know you're already in. I'm not trying to make heaven my home. Heaven's my home. All I got to do is die to get there. But right now, I want this to be my home. Amen. Still got some work to do. Still got some things I want to see in the flesh. I said see in the flesh because I do believe that when you're in spirit form going to be the Lord, you see certain things. But I want to see some things in the flesh. The scripture talks about that. About seeing certain things in the flesh. I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. There's certain things I want to experience in the flesh. Paul said, see, for me to go on and be with the Lord, he said, it's not just about me. He said, for me, it would be far better. Because to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. So be with the Lord is far better. He said, but it's needful for you that I be here. In other words, I can only benefit you and my family and those who God connected with me. I can only benefit you while I'm here in the flesh. See, can I tell you, you realize this, when you really understand purpose and you understand calling, you really understand you are not here on this earth merely for yourself. I know you want a big house. I know you want a big car. I know you want a boo. I know you want a bae. I know you want 3 children. I know you want to make 100 figures. But can I tell you, this thing is bigger than you. And until you realize that, God's not going to fund your vision. Until you realize that this can't be just about you. That's why I keep telling you, you all need to start setting some giving goals. What you're going to do? Who you're going to help? How many people are going to be blessed as a result of you being blessed? God is not just about blessing you. He put you in the earth to be a blessing to somebody else. We got to have money with a mission. So the reason why I can have boldness, I can face it with confidence, I can be word-free in judgment day, it's because I know and I believe that Jesus has already forgiven me. He's already justified me. He's already taken the penalty for my sin. And heaven is my home. How many of y'all got a home somewhere in these in here in these Carolinas somewhere in this neighborhood or neighborhoods? Come somewhere here. You ain't there right now, but you know you got a home there, right? You don't have to be there for it to be your home. You go on vacation, it's still your home. Come on. You're out the country, but you still got a home. Are y'all listening to me? Some of y'all home, you still call your mama's home your home. Okay? Where you going? I'm going home. You've been in your house for 30 years, but you're going home when you go see mama. You know you got a home. So watch this. Romans 5:1 said, therefore, being justified, being means if I'm already in the state of being of justified. I'm already justified right now. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified means God sees me as righteous. God's declared me right. I didn't earn my righteousness. I wasn't good enough to be righteous. He made me righteous. He declared me to be righteous. Okay? I could have been in prison in Sweden, but the president made a call and got me out. Some of you need to watch the news so you'll be able to go along with me when I'm preaching, okay? Okay. I may have done it, but nevertheless, Jesus interceded for me, and he declares me righteous. Romans 5:1, New Living Translation, said, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight. Look, somebody say, I'm right in God's sight. Can I tell you, you got to know you're right with God's sight because people hold your past sins against you. We were having breakfast. My daughter was saying, she said, somehow I don't understand. She said, a woman, she told me, I got a lot of women's advocates in my family. Y'all pray for me. Okay. They always fight for the cause of the women. I was messing with me. I said, you women, you always complain about something. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. No, much love. I have no problem with y'all. Much love, swatter. I got no problem. But my daughter said, she said, you know, see, a woman can mess up and have children and letting people be looking at her all kind of funny. He said, you know, but there's a young man in our church, and, you know, 3 years, he got like two children. He got like two children like 3 months apart. You know, we call them project twins. When I came, some of y'all know a project twin. We call them project twins. See, because in a project, you'd be going with a girl in three building and in five building. And they both may be pregnant at the same time. So we call them project twins. Okay. He said, but he's a man of God. Hey, about what a great man he is and how blessed he is to have him. Ain't nobody talking about his past. Okay. But women, they try to hold the truth of the matter. Sometimes people don't let your past go. You got to know you justified. Come on, somebody say, I've been made right. I didn't make myself right. I couldn't earn myself right. He just made me right. I wasn't right, but he made me right. And so New Living Translation says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God. Now, I can be at peace with you if you want to be at peace with me. But if you don't want to be at peace with me, it's okay, because I got peace with God. Hallelujah. We have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Y'all see that? Man, that's so powerful. Since I've been made right in God's sight by faith, I have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. See, I took the us out and I made it me. I have peace with God. I've been made right, not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. Now I got boldness in the day of judgment. I got just as much boldness in the day of judgment as somebody who says, God, I ain't never did nothing wrong. I did everything wrong, but I got boldness in the day of judgment. I'm not afraid that your testimony is going to disqualify my testimony. Because we all needed the blood. I said we all needed the blood. I can have boldness in their judgment because my sins have already been judged in and through Jesus Christ. Back to Hebrews 9. I think I was reading this earlier for communion. Hebrews 9, verse 24 through 28. It says, for Christ is not into the holy place and made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself. See, the Old Testament high priest went into the holy place, holy, which is a representative or a symbol of going into heaven. He said, but Jesus Christ actually went into heaven before the presence of God. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. So Jesus Christ is in the presence of God right now, making intercession for me. Verse 25, nor yet that he should offer himself often. He didn't have to do it every year like they did in the Old Testament. As the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he have suffered since the foundation of the world. Oh, man. He said, since man been sinning from the foundation of the world, he would have to been gone every year since the foundation of the world. He said, but now once in the end of the world, for us was about 2,000 years ago, he's appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. By sacrificing himself, he's put away sin, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I need you to see that 28th verse there. He said, when we see Jesus again, for those of us who are born again, we are not going to have to count for our sins. You need to catch this. Our sins have already been dealt with. We're going to be going before God for rewards. Not to see if we're going to make it in. I'm already in. I need y'all to see this. You need to understand this. Now watch this. This is the kind of love he demonstrated to us. If you don't understand this kind of love, you're always going to spend your life trying to qualify. Trying to make it in. Oh, Lord. And so I came along this time. They said, now when you pray, you need to confess all your sins every day. Jesus. Some of us, we couldn't even be at church right now. We said, what you doing? You come Pastor, I won't be at church today. I'll be home confessing my sins. You come in Wednesday? No, Pastor, I'll still be confessing my sins. How about the encounter? You need to come? No, Pastor, I'm going to have to encounter these sins right here at the house. Then they taught us, pray Forgive me of sins of commission and sins of omission. Commission, what you committed to. Omission, what you omitted. Can I tell you, your sins already been dealt with. What you committed, what you omitted, what you thought. Look at this. So Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him. How much looking for him? Come on, how? What's happening with the church? How much looking for Jesus? How much looking forward to seeing him one day? I'm saying, Lord Jesus. And unto them that look for him, he shall appear the second time when we see him again without sin. He's not coming to deal with us for our sins. Now, you need to understand. Y'all really need to catch this. Because it's renewal of mind. It's renewal of what the religion has taught us. That one day you're going to have to give an account for that. Can I tell you, Jesus already took account of it. He's already taken account for it. Watch this. So, okay, let me give it to you from a couple other translations to make better sense. Hebrews 9:28, New Living Translation. So as Christ was offered once for all time. Oh, my God. Once for all time. Once for all time. You need to understand. Now, it was hard for me to wrap my brain around this because I heard teaching you. But Jesus Christ died for past sins, present sins, and future sins.
God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. He loves us perfectly and unashamedly. Bishop Herbert Billy encourages you to believe God's unexplainable, crazy love that he has for you. Order this powerful series today on CD or DVD. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Order Believe the Love.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.